This is special coverage on the Park Fire from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. It's been 1 week since the Park Fire was started in Upper Bidwell Park. Firefighters continue to work hard on the massive blaze. Many residents are starting to return home. Some in the community of Forest Ranch are without water or are under a boil advisory following the fire. That's because it may have contaminated the water with chemicals or bacteria. John Graham is a water operator who contracts with providers in the area. He says the shutoffs are to prepare the water for testing.
The requirement is that the system lay dormant for 72 hours prior to sample collection. So the reason that their services have been turned off is to allow that no-flow state that's required by the testing parameters.
Graham says the water will be tested for benzene, a carcinogen released by plastic pipes when superheated, as well as bacteria like E. coli. He says water will flow again after the samples have been gathered. But at this point, it should only be used for things like flushing toilets and washing hands. Once the results come back and the water is shown to be clean, it will be safe to drink. Water samples are set to be gathered tonight, and Graham says results could be ready within a week. We're going to have much more on this story later today in All Things Considered in our 5:30 special coverage. Stay tuned. We'll now turn to the overall status of the fire. Today, officials gave their daily afternoon briefing. We'll play most of it for you. It starts with an update from CAL FIRE Incident Commander Billy C.
Good afternoon. The park incident sits right at 390,000 acres. That's a 5,000 acre growth in the last 24 hours. The majority of that growth happened up in the northeast corner of Tehama County. Currently, the footprint of the park incident, 53,000 acres are within Butte County, and 337,000 acres are within Tehama County. It's 18% contained. You heard the operations section chief talk about the weather patterns. We were able to gain 4% containment on the incident yesterday. This incident has 270 miles of open fire line. Yesterday, gaining the 18% total containment, we were able to close over 50 miles of fire line. We still have a lot of work to do ahead of us. We have 6,000 personnel assigned to the incident, 107 hand crews, 521 engines, 180 dozers, 115 water tenders. You heard the numerous aircraft being utilized, including 41 helicopters, three of which are night flying operations to assist the firefighters at night to gain an additional foothold around the perimeter. We've initiated the damage inspection process. We announced that yesterday, and we've been given stats daily. Currently in Butte County, in that 53,000 acre footprint, we're 65% complete. We've done 892 inspections, 258 destroyed structures, 154 of which are single-family dwellings, 32 damaged structures. There are 602 structures that had zero damage due to the fire impact. That's a 68% survival rate within Butte County. In Tehama County, it's 85% complete on the damage inspection process, including 317 sites inspected, 103 destroyed structures, 55 of which are single family dwellings, four damaged structures, 210 structures without any damage. That equates out to a 66% survival rate within Tehama County. Obviously, this area has been impacted over the last decade by several large and damaging fires. We have a large footprint within Tehama County, 337,000 acres. That's a lot. That's a lot of land that's been touched here in the northeast portion of the county. Obviously, we've had damaging fires on both sides of the Tehama Glen unit, and then the Butte unit has witnessed and suffered severe and devastating fires over the last decade. Please keep in mind, we're working extremely hard, making sure our firefighters are engaged, going direct on perimeter control and trying to shorten this fire up as soon as possible. Thank you.
Speaking next, CAL FIRE Butte Unit and Butte County Fire Department Unit and Fire Chief Garrett Scholin.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Around 6,000 personnel assigned to this unit or this fire now, and I can't express enough the gratitude for everyone to come and help us here in Butte and Tehama counties to fight this fire. No single county can handle this on their own, and now we're seeing resources come from out of state, so we appreciate all of that assistance. As we continue to work through this fire, there's parts of the fire that can begin to be repopulated, and that's happening now in Butte County. Sheriff Corey Honey, his staff, and in conjunction with the incident management team, we'll be providing you some more information in just a moment. But I want to touch on a couple factors as we repopulate those areas in Butte County in the past few days and in the coming days. Very important to note that there are hot spots that are potentially still around your residence. We do our best effort to mop up entirely around those structures that are still standing, as well as those that may have been lost. We also do our best to mop up roughly 200 feet in on the perimeter of the fire. However, there are times where we miss deep-seated stump holes or snag trees that may have fire in them. So be cautious, be cognizant when you repopulate your areas. Look for assistance if you find those situations, and please don't wander off deep into the fire burn scar for the next few days as you get back into those areas. The second thing I'd like to talk about is Butte County, as we repopulate, has a number of roads that are very narrow. And while you're repopulating and going back into those communities, we're also still traveling with our fire equipment or the equipment that's coming in to replace power poles or other infrastructure. So please, to the citizens that may not live in those areas, do your best to not travel in those roads, because it just congests them and it causes delays in us doing our job in the fire zone. So thank you.
Speaking next is the Butte County Sheriff.
Good afternoon. I am Corey Honey, Sheriff of Butte County. And I'm pleased to say that things are continuing to improve in Butte County. We continue to work very hard with our counterparts in fire to reduce evacuation orders to warning, and then hopefully we can move from warnings and get everybody back into their homes without any threats whatsoever. This afternoon, we are lifting warnings in zones 312B, 317A, 273, and 318 in North Chico. We're also reducing evacuation orders to warnings in zones 312A and 317B. Zone 253 will go from an order to a warning, and this includes Cohasset Road west of Byliss Road. I want people to understand we're going to continue to have the traffic control point at that area in place for a few more hours. So you can expect some delays, because we need to give residents returning to that area packets of information that's important for them to have with regard to their safety. And I would reiterate what Chief Scholin said. Please be careful as you repopulate these areas. And also, if you don't live in the area, stay out so that residents can get back in, and also we can continue to have emergency personnel have ready access to that area. In Forest Ranch, orders will remain in effect on Highway 32 due to the need for fire personnel to continue to access that area and a lot of congestion on the roadway. However, due to the very limited number of homes in that area, we will be opening up Highway 32 between Platte Mountain Road and Humboldt Road to residents only. There are only about six residents in there, so we're able to accommodate that. Those individuals who live there will be able to access that with proof of residency. Please note, though, if you don't live there, it is still under an evacuation order, and it is not open to the public, only residents. And for those residents, also, please be careful. A list of full road closures can be found by visiting buttecounty.net. As I spoke to you yesterday, we have resumed the escort program for residents that need to be escorted into their properties. Escorts can be requested by calling the Butte County Sheriff's Office non-emergency line at area code 530-538-7322. Please be patient, and I'm happy to report from our dispatchers that the vast majority of people who called yesterday were very patient, very pleasant. It made the process go much, much smoother, and it reduced the stress upon everybody involved, not only our dispatchers, but also the people calling. So I appreciate all of you and your patience for that. On another note, we have received a report of looting, one case of looting in Cohasset, in which a generator and a Jeep were taken. The Jeep has been recovered, and I have a detectives assigned to actively follow up on that case to locate the generator and also identify the individuals involved. We're going to be working very diligently to try to identify the individuals responsible for that and get them into custody. If you have information that could help us, I would ask that you contact the Butte County Sheriff's Office. Ask to speak to Detective Tiffany Astrolago, and the phone number to call is area code 530-538-7321. Folks, we take that very seriously, and I will put investigative resources on those kinds of cases to bring those people to justice. Thank you.
Speaking next is the Tehama County Sheriff.
Good afternoon. Sheriff Dave Kane, Tehama County. I want to first start by thanking the fire service for their heroic efforts that we've seen in Tehama County alone. The vast resources that have come to bear on our areas have done tremendous work to protect our threatened communities. They're small communities, but those communities are very important to us and the way of life that we have here in Tehama County in our rural areas. I want to continue by saying what Sheriff Honey talked about. Our feeding, watering, and animal transportation program is still going in Tehama County. It's been a good success. We're escorting people in and out with a very brief time frame for them to get in. You can contact our administrative office number 530-529-7940 extension 1 to schedule an appointment to get in and out for those items. Last night, we did have a little incident. We had a contractor that is working the fire in an area that they weren't supposed to be. We admonished them. We've notified CAL FIRE, and they're going to work on making sure to deal with that situation. During the course of this, I think all the counties, Butte, Tehama, and Shasta, have given plenty of warnings and identified what's going to happen if you're behind fire lines. And so we are taking a no-nonsense stance on this. In Tehama, no matter why you're behind the fire lines, even if it's trying to be a good Samaritan, you will be arrested in Tehama County and taken outside the fire lines. Tonight, I'll be attending a town hall meeting in Chester at the Chester Fire Station at 6 o'clock. If there's any residents of Mineral and or Mill Creek that would like to attend and have any personal questions for me at that time. Also, I want you to know that the Tehama County Sheriff's Office, Office of Emergency Services, had a meeting yesterday with regards to recovery process with all of our departments within the county for approved preparations as we get ready for repopulation at some point here in the future. Additionally, we did also, good news, we finally reduced the warning sites for zones 882, D as in David, and 854, B as in boy. Those are both in the Vina area between the Vina proper and the fire scar. I've been told to make sure that the public is aware in that area that this will now butt up to the evacuation zone. So please stay out of that area and just access your private residences. Thank you.
Speaking next, Shasta County Sheriff.
Good afternoon. Under Sheriff Randall, Shasta County Sheriff's Office. At this time, Shasta County, we still have a number of areas in Shingletown and Manton that are under evacuation and evacuation warnings. We have 30 zones under evacuation order and 34 zones remained under evacuation warning. As we speak, Sheriff Michael Johnson is in a special meeting of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. The sheriff has declared a local state of emergency to ensure allied agencies are mobilized to assist Shasta County if necessary. Our hope is the board will ratify this declaration here momentarily. I want to speak to those who are under evacuation warnings and orders. We understand the desire to return to your homes. We are in communication, constant communication with our fire officials to determine when that can happen as soon as possible, but it must be done with safety in mind. As relayed by fire officials, there's still potential for increased fire activity. Rest assured, our goal is to have our residents back in their homes as quickly and as safely as possible. We appreciate your cooperation and patience. Thank you very much.
That was a press conference from officials about the Park Fire earlier this afternoon. You're listening to North State Public Radio. When we return, we'll focus on smoke and how to protect yourself. I'm Sarah Bohannon. This is special coverage on NSPR. This is special coverage on the Park Fire from North State Public Radio. I'm Sarah Bohannon. Many people have been worried about the air quality where they live due to the fire. While Tehama and Shasta counties have seen the worst of it since the fire began, Butte County is also seeing some unhealthy air quality. Earlier today, NSPR's Adia White spoke with Jason Manley. He's with the Butte County Air Quality Management District.
In general, people that are more sensitive to air pollution would be those with any pre-existing conditions like asthma, COPD. Also with particulates, sometimes they can even exacerbate cardiovascular conditions. So those with cardiovascular conditions. Children also tend to be more sensitive population, the elderly.
And how are you able to tell whether or not the air quality is sensitive for you? Can you just, are you able to tell just by looking outside?
Yeah, I mean, we can tell what the air quality is by measuring it. We do have several sophisticated air monitoring stations throughout Butte County. We have one in Paradise, one in Chico, and one in southern Butte County. However, you know, we over the past few years, we've been installing more of these low-cost sensors that help fill in the gaps and provide air quality information to different communities and areas that are a little bit further out from town. For example, we have these installed in places like Butte Meadows, Forest Ranch, Berry Creek, neighborhoods of Oroville, Thermalito, Palermo. And so over the past few years, it's been easier for folks to take a look at current air quality conditions near them. And these sensors and these monitors, they measure the amount of PM2.5 in the air, and they provide it on a scale called the Air Quality Index. And with the Air Quality Index, it'll provide you information if it's in the good air quality range, the moderate air quality range, which is, it's not great, but it's, you know, for the most part, most people can, unless they're unusually susceptible to particulates, they can still do everything that's normal outdoors. Once it starts getting above an AQI level of 100, that's the air quality index range for unhealthy for sensitive groups. The recommendations for those sensitive to air pollution, like we discussed, children, the elderly, those with pre-existing conditions, the advice is to reduce the amount of time that you're exerting yourself outdoors. You know, it might not be a great time to go exercising or getting your heart rate up, and also decrease the duration of the time that you're outdoors. Once we get above the AQI level of 150, that's unhealthy for everyone, and you know everyone should heed that advice.
And you mentioned that there are sensors and listed several communities that have been impacted by the Park Fire. Can you tell us a little bit more about what the air quality forecast is looking like in those regions generally? Are we seeing more moderate impacts, for example, right now, or is it pretty severe?
You know, for the most part, the Butte County area has been not receiving as much poor air quality as we have in the past wildfires. The exception, unfortunately, was today. We had a little bit of a wind shift, and a lot of that smoke came down canyon and also just went down in a southerly direction overnight. And so it really impacted areas in Paradise, Magalia, on the ridge there with very unhealthy air quality this morning. With the current wind pattern, we do have south winds developing, and that should push a lot of the smoke towards the north, and that would return air quality impacts, unfortunately, to those that are north of us, like in the Chester area, Burney, Shingletown. The forecast moving forward, you know, it really depends on the wind direction and fire activity, both of which are kind of variable. And so that's why, you know, it's important to keep track of air quality by checking resources like the AirNow Fire and Smoke Map, because it is expected that this, you know, like we've seen over the past several days, this smoke will, you know, roll in and then it'll roll out later on in the afternoon. And we expect that pattern to continue with, you know, with changing air quality conditions throughout the day.
And is one able to tell the air quality just by looking outside, for example, or might it be that it's clear outside and yet the air quality is still poor, or vice versa?
Yeah, in general, you know, of course, if it's smoky out, you'll be able to see it. If you see smoke or smell smoke, you're being impacted. As far as what the concentration is, that can, you know, be in a wide range. But if you're extra sensitive to smoke, you see it and you smell it, you know, that would be a good time to head indoors if you can, and stay in an area that has some sort of air filtration. If you're driving around in a vehicle, you know, there's ways where you can turn your car AC system into recirculate, so you're not drawing in that smoky air. And if you're in a house, you know, make sure you're not drawing in air. Windows and doors, they should be shut. And if you have any way to filter the air, whether through your central HVAC system or with a portable air scrubber, you know, that would be a good time to turn it on.
And if it's clear outside, is it safe to assume that the air is safe to breathe?
In general, you know, you can take a look, and if it looks like, if you don't see any visible smoke, haze hanging on the ground, or, you know, smoke through the trees, that's usually a good sign. And again, you know, you can take a look, if you want to be extra sure, take a look at some resources that are available online to see what the current air quality conditions are, to see if they've gone back down into the moderate or good range.
And how long does smoke usually linger in the air after a wildfire?
You know, smoke is really dependent on weather conditions. So depending on the weather conditions, smoke can clear out of an area pretty quickly. You know, we saw that yesterday, for example. You know, the smoke came down and was impacting the Chico area in the early afternoon. And then just with that south wind starting up, it cleared it and improved the air quality back down into the good range within just a couple of hours. So it really just depends on the weather. It can, you know, weather can be bad where the wind can bring it in. We can have inversions where the smoke travels down canyon and impacts areas adjacent to those canyons like the Paradise Ridge. And then when the wind starts up, it could clear out the smoke.
And what can people do to protect themselves when the air quality is dangerous?
So the best recommendation is to go indoors if possible. If you have any outdoor plans when smoke is unhealthy or worse, you know, it probably would be best to postpone those plans if possible. When indoors, you know, again, you know, keep doors and windows shut so that you can keep your indoor air quality as good as possible. If you do have central air filtration, it's good to have a backup of high quality filters. These would be filters that are MERV 13 or higher or equivalent. And usually when you go shopping for an air filter, you know, you can see what kind of particles it can be filtered out. And so you usually want the higher quality filters so that it'll start filtering out smoke as well, in addition to pollen or pet dander. If a building doesn't have a central HVAC system, there's still things that you can do to create at least one clean room in your home. There are portable air filters and HEPA filters that folks can purchase. In a pinch, some people have even duct taped a filter to a box fan, and that has actually been proven to help out a little bit. If you're in an area that's getting inundated with smoke and indoor air quality is poor, some folks have been able to even put filters on a box fan to at least just keep one clean room in their home.
That was Jason Mandley with the Butte County Air Quality Management District speaking with NSPR's Adia White. And NSPR has had reporters traveling around the perimeter of the park fire this week to speak with those who have been affected. NSPR's Alex Stetson was in Paradise yesterday. While there, he spoke with Natalie Hurst. Paradise was put under an evacuation warning last week. That has since been lifted, but Hurst said she did evacuate out of caution.
I kind of just, as soon as I heard that there was a fire, I kind of just wanted to get all my stuff and leave. Didn't want to risk having to lose more of my family history and belongings that I have and have my family's recollected.
What did you pack up when the order came through? Or the warning, I should say.
I packed up, like, you know, birth certificate, social security card, my pet's adoption papers. I grabbed my, like, family heirlooms that I still have, so, like, my grandmother's ring, which is my engagement ring. And then it's more of, like, what I didn't pack, which is kind of, like...
What didn't you pack?
I honestly kind of forgot about, like, basic needs, like shampoos, deodorants. I just kind of wanted to get what I thought was important, but also trying to remember what is important was hard to come up with. Like, I was kind of going around my house frantically, like, what do I need to get? Wasn't too sure.
So did you evacuate?
We did. We went to Yuba City. We stayed down there for a night in Ethan's mom's house. Just because we didn't want to risk, if how fast this fire was moving, we didn't know. We don't know if the wind would change, or how fast the wind was. So we just kind of left for a single day, waited it out, like 24 hours, and then decided that we might be okay and decided to come home.
Did you bring your pets with you?
We did, yeah.
And so where did you get your information about what was going on with the fire?
So I have watch duty. So I made sure my notifications were on. I even had, like, the heat setting on so I could see like where exactly it roughly, you know, kind of roughly is. Yeah, I had all the settings turned on because I was like, I need to know where the wind's going, where the fire's at, like where the zones are, making sure my family was safe, all that.
Sure. And so what were some lessons learned for you for things that you would do if you have to do it again?
Definitely pre-pack. So, you know, make a little, have a to-go bag ready at all times. I did have, luckily I had a box that I already put like important paperwork in, but I honestly should have put like the meaningful items probably in a safe spot, just so that way it'd be easy to just grab it and go.
That was Paradise resident Natalie Hurst speaking with NSPR's Alex Stetson. And if you've been evacuated due to the Park Fire, we'd like to hear about your experience. Leave us a voicemail at 530-487-1648. Again, that's 487-1648. Or head to our website, mynspr.org. And coming up, we'll have more special coverage at 5:30. We'll hear more about concerns regarding water systems in areas where the fire is burned and how to stay safe. Alex Stetson and Adia White produced this special coverage. You're listening to North State Public Radio. Our technical producer is Matt Fidler. I'm Sarah Bohannon. Stay tuned.